Being that I've seen 60 years pass today, I thought I'd talk a little bit about time. And I picked a verse in the last chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which is the song of Sri Krishna, and wonderful instructions to enliven us and to help us get out of this cycle of birth and death. So I picked this verse. It's text 56 in Bhagavad Gita. Sarva karmanyapi sada kurvano marjapashraya mat prasadhad avapmuti shashvatam padam avyayam. First, let me offer my obeisances to Sri Krishna. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this is a translation of this verse in Bhagavad Gita. Though engaged in all kinds of activities, my pure devotee, under my protection, reaches the eternal and imperishable abode by my grace. This is purport. The word madhyapashrayaha means under the protection of the Supreme Lord. To be free from material contamination, a pure devotee acts under the direction of the Supreme Lord or his representative, the spiritual master. There's no time limitation for a pure devotee. He is always, 24 hours a day, 100% engaged in activities under the direction of the Supreme Lord. To a devotee who is thus engaged in Krishna consciousness, the Lord is very, very kind. In spite of all difficulties, he is eventually placed in the transcendental abode or Krishna Loka. He is guaranteed entrance there. There is no doubt about it. In that supreme abode, there is no change. Everything is eternal, imperishable, and full of knowledge. So in the Bhagavad Gita, there are five subject matters. And one of them is the living entity, those sparks, like ourselves, that are here in this material world, but are the living force. And then it's also described about the material nature that we're mixed into. And then there is activity, how we interact in this material world, properly and improperly. And then there is the Supreme Lord, all about the Supreme Lord. And here Krishna is speaking himself personally. And then there is time. And time actually influences all these other things. And you can pick them out in this one verse, all five of them. And so that's why I picked this verse. And especially, I would like to speak about time. Some people have kind of a grim feeling about time. Because it is a very, very powerful thing. And other people say, I'm just killing time. No big deal, right? Although time is killing them. And so time is a very obscure thing. You can't really go to college and take a whole course on time. No one can really go all the way back and figure out when it started. No one knows when it's going to end. No one's really, seen it or can touch it, but it's there. It's happening on all of us. And there's no competitor to time. None whatsoever. Nothing can compete with time. You can't run faster than time. And you can't stop it. Nothing can stop time. As Prabhupada would also use that quote, time and tide wait for no man. And so therefore, some people just, they fear time because they don't know anything about it except that they're racing against it all the time, it seems like. And we understand that when there's something so powerful that nothing can compete with, then it must be God himself in some feature. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, time I am, the destroyer of the world. Elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita, it also says that I'm inexhaustible time. Never stops. Never stops, does it? Clock never stops. Even if the battery runs out, right? It's still going on. And then also you can understand that it's all devouring. No one can not be affected by it. We all get devoured ultimately. Everything materially gets chewed upon gradually. So it's a very, very powerful thing. Therefore, it's Krishna. And Krishna, he says that that you could be on his good side or his bad side in some way. Just like there's a nice example, one Narayana gave example the other night of the cat and the kitten. Now, there's some kittens that were born in the barn over here last week. And they were, in the very, very beginning, they were very helpless. And the mother, what does it do to move the kittens because the kittens can't defend? Picks it up, right, with his mouth. His jaws picks it up. He carries, moves the kittens here and there so nothing bothers him. And so therefore, it's a pleasant thing for the kittens. They have no fear. And then also going on in that barn are the cats and the mice, right? There's a lot of rats over there. And the cats, you all of a sudden see a little tail sticking out of their mouth, right? And they're playing with it. Those jaws, that's a different story. It's a different influence, right? So there's different influences for different persons. So the devotee is really not fearful of this. Krishna is describing that my pure devotee, he's not even affected by time. He gets my protection and my shelter. And he actually tastes the eternal. He tastes what it's like to be eternally connected with Krishna. So it's a different influence. But those who think that I'm just this body, they're limited to just think, you know, what's past my senses, what's past my mind. That's what I know. Just my bodily limitations, that's what I know. And therefore, of course, they're affected all the time by the ups and the downs of the material world. And they experience this all-devouring feature of Krishna in the form of time. Just like there's vital statistics, right? The minute you're born, it's written down, it's there, you can't lose it, it's very important information. Very, very important for the conditioned soul. And then there's the death statistic also. My father died about a year ago or so, and we had to call in to tell that he died. They already knew it. They already knew that he had died. I mean, because it's such an important thing. It has to be recorded, right? Because the beginning and the end, this is what's important for someone who just thinks that they're in this body. And therefore, they're influenced by all the things that happen in between. And what do you do if you know that you had a beginning and you have an end? You think, okay, now I have a certain amount of time. What do I do with this time? And for those who are intelligent, well, they will begin to ask questions. Yes, what do I do? And so they strive for the pursuit of happiness because no one wants to be uncomfortable. Although it's very uncomfortable in this material world, it's quite awkward for the spirit soul. But so all their lifetime is usually spent in this pursuit of how I'm going to be comfortable. And so what they try to do, economically, they try to change things so that they can afford all the necessary things to keep it comfortable, right? And this is what many, many people do the whole lifetime, is just figure out how they can afford to be comfortable during this span from birth to death, during this time. And then some people, they're just waiting, when will I retire, right? When will I get Social Security? And then I'm going to enjoy, right? So this is also a mentality. Others, like I said, I have all this time. I could just kill some time doing this, doing that. And other people are very dutiful. I have to do this, I have to do that. They have certain things in mind. More or less survival. And that's it. Just survive in this material world until I'm called, until I'm out of here, and try to get as much done as I possibly can. But Prabhupada says, that this is actually a waste of a very valuable time. Many, many lifetimes we've probably been doing this. So better that this lifetime we begin to ask questions, actually, maybe there's something better to do with my time. Because the devotee, as described here, is actually under the protection of the Supreme. So therefore, he has some time to go deeper, for self-realization, to actually go deeper and deeper, spend quality time in understanding what that soul is, what's beyond this body, what's beyond this limitation. And therefore, this is the devotee is not affected by all these other things because he's focused on the soul. So therefore, this flash life, Prabhupada says, is not so significant for the devotee. Because we understand we're just here for a very, very short time. Just an eye blink. I know 60 years have passed. Psh, boom. You know, just gone. It's amazing. You know? And you don't know, you know, when the last breath is. The non-devotee is always thinking, I have a certain amount of breaths. But for the devotee, it's not so important. Because I'm eternal. This material breath doesn't matter. What matters is that I'm eternally, somehow or other, conscious of the Supreme, of my Supreme nature, and my relationship with the Supreme. So therefore, the devotee isn't worried about retirement. We're just trying to figure out how we can serve now and serve later. Enjoy now, enjoy later. Enjoy your cake and have it. Eat it and enjoy it too. So this is what we're trying to do. Plus, we're trying to get out of this grip, because we all are, being conditioned souls, we're under the grip of the illusory energy. And it's hard to get free because the illusion is so strong that within just a very few moments we can forget our real nature, our eternal nature. And we forget that we're not this body. Just like, you know, on a daily basis, how many times, you know, we might stub our toe or this or that, and we immediately, right? But I know I'm not my body, but it hurts, right? For the pure devotee, the influence is less because we're not distracted, because we're trying to be focused. And the more focused you are, the less distractions, and the deeper you can go, the more you actually will begin to realize that soul. So this is the message of the scripture. I have a very nice verse, one of my favorite verses in the Bhagavatam. I was there in Los Angeles when Srila Prabhupada lectured on this verse and others. It's from the second chapter. It's called A Change of Heart. And this is how it goes. It goes, both by rising and by setting of the sun, it decreases the duration of life of everyone, except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all-good Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the sun is rising for us. It rose today. It's going to go down very soon. And one day is lost. But it's not really lost for one who is focused and speaking about the Supreme Lord. It doesn't really matter if it comes up or it doesn't go down. It doesn't matter to us because we're talking about Krishna. We're talking about the Supreme. Therefore, these material things really don't count. They don't count. What really counts eternally is our contemplation on the Supreme Lord and reviving that relationship with the Supreme Lord. So this rising and setting of the sun, it doesn't really affect the duration of our real life, because as described in this purport, we're of the eternal nature, and Krishna's just waiting and helping us to get back to where we can have that blissful eternal life. And he says here, how many times he says, my pure devotee, under my protection, by my grace, you'll come back. Krishna's very concerned about this. And he's very, very personally involved, if we choose to have him, he's very personally involved in helping us get this consciousness back, to waken up and to become more conscious of the soul, and therefore not have to suffer all the influences of time. So we should be very grateful that Krishna has this concern and that he's willing to help us engage in the eternal occupation of the soul, which is bhakti, which is what we teach here at these temples. That's why Srila Prabhupada came here, to teach us the art of bhakti, or the art of loving Krishna, the art of devotion, that thing that is within us that never goes away, but which is just misdirected right now. So the spiritual master also is sent by Krishna, and Krishna in the heart, Krishna in the form of Bhagavad Gita, is all giving us direction on how to get that connection going again. Like 5,000 years ago, he spoke this for our benefit. And still, we're getting so much benefit out of it. Thousands and millions of people all over the world are realizing, yes, this is the higher purpose of life. And then just 500 years ago, here, right here, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, and personally, he went door to door, went through the streets, wherever he could go, he would sing, and to everybody, still in the early morning hours, personally, he would go with other people saying, wake up, Jeev Jaga, wake up, sleeping soul. Wake up, don't waste your life with this uselessness of endeavoring for sense gratification, for this bodily sense gratification. So Krishna has so much concern that he comes again and again. He sends his representative to call us, to wake us up, to please stay in this consciousness so that you can understand your eternal nature. And so you all are very sincere, obviously, because you've taken the time. You've halted your other things. You've taken your time to come here and to do some service, to have darshan, or to see the Lord, and to associate with other people that are serious about spiritual life, and to hear about the Supreme Lord and His glories, to imbibe within your higher consciousness that understanding. So we should, you know, take advantage, and as much as we can, take the opportunity to follow the instructions of the spiritual master and to come and engage in this purifying process. Because if you are a pure devotee, one who is pure, then Krishna says that without a doubt, I'm going to come and take you back to my eternal abode. So it's a pretty good deal. We've got Krishna on our side, we've got the spiritual master, we have such a nice arrangement with this Hare Krishna movement to engage all of us. 24 hours a day, it says here, we can be engaged in Krishna service. Even if we take rest, that's so we can get up and do some more service, right? And so it's a really wonderful process. That's why Prabhupada, in the very beginning, had this slogan, chant and be happy. How can we not be happy? If we know and really understand and feel our eternal nature, then we're not going to be so much affected by all these things. Although it says here there can be some difficulties, yes, but we'll understand that it's just that flash, just that momentary, you know, discomfort or whatever difficulty. There's so many, you can make lists of them, right? But we know that, yes, there is that higher pleasure. I just have to connect. That's all. And so there's many instructions in the Bhagavad Gita, as Krishna's describing here in the last chapter, trying to get us to really surrender, to think more of Him, and to give our time, to give this one lifetime to Him. And also, Srila Prabhupada gave us so many instructions. I was looking up under how many times He said, don't waste time. Don't waste, you know, this human form of life. So many thousands of times he kept saying over and over again, don't waste this valuable human form of life. Don't waste a moment. Not only is he telling, you know, us on the, you know, on a material level, but even as devotees, he's saying, even as a devotee, don't waste time with prajalpa, with this unnecessary talk about this is and that's. But spend your time in glorifying the Lord, you know, because it helps everything. It helps everyone, whoever hears. So that's one instruction he gave. And he also said that we should be very choosy in what we do as far as our activities, that we choose things that are not going to make us more attached to material things. And we find that there's choices every day we can make. If I do this, yeah, I know I'm a little attached, and it's just going to make me more attached. But I can do other things that will detach me some. And that's what we need, because this illusory energy of God, it has a very tight grip. And to loosen that, it's not an easy job. We have to give a little bit of force against that. So we have to take shelter of this protection, and at the same time use our intelligence that, oh, should I or shouldn't I? And what's those billboards that say, just say no? Right? Sometimes we just have to say no. So therefore we have to pray to our spiritual master to for that strength. And then also Prabhupada has requested that we try to choose also our association. In other words, don't linger too much out with materialists. If you choose that, then make sure you're the one that is giving the message, not that you're receiving the message. That might attract you again to this lower energy of Krishna. So we have to be very cautious of that. Papa says we're kind of always walking on that razor's edge. So we have to realize this material world is a very dangerous place. And we can fall off an edge any minute, no matter who we are. And also, we need to make priorities in our life. Just like recently, I've been working very physically, with my body out in the heat and for many, many long hours doing this project in the back here. And I don't see how people do it every single day without a big slot of time for your spiritual life, filling up with spiritual, energy and knowledge and strength. I don't see how people do it without that, because it wears down on you really, really fast. Unless you are in knowledge, yes, I'm doing this for Krishna. Yes, I have a higher purpose. What is my goal? So therefore, we have to make sure within our lives, although we have duties, which we have to do, both material and spiritual, that we make sure we have that slot of time preserved, quality time, for our spiritual life, for filling up with spiritual spiritual nectar of all different sorts. Some people say, well, we don't want to be neglectful. We have to have a certain amount of time. It's true. We don't want to be neglectful for our material duties. But we need to Krishnaize them. There's another a verse that kind of echoes this. It's also from Srimad Bhagavatam. The occupational activities a man performs according to his own position are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction to the personality of Godhead. Very powerful verse and very practical verse. So we have so many activities that we have to do. But we can Krishnaize them. We can make Krishna the center. Just like this festival coming up. It's such a wonderful opportunity to put Krishna in the center of all our families. We can bring them here early, help them, you can do some service. Even days before, like she said, there's so many things people can volunteer to help in so many ways. You can be thinking about what you're going to buy Krishna for his birthday present, or Prabhupada for his birthday present, or what my vows are going to be, or you can bring things. There's so many things we can do to Krishnaize our life. And so this is why we have this big movement. That's why Prabhupada made this Hare Krishna movement, to help us all become plugged in somehow or other in the big Krishna's family of all kinds of wonderful activities, like in this verse that we're reading. There's no way we can in 24 hours do everything we want for Krishna. So every single day is an opportunity to fill ourselves more and more ways to please Krishna, because that's the whole crux of the matter, is to somehow or other have all our activities such that they are pleasing to Krishna. And we'll know if we're chanting and becoming happy, then we know that Krishna is pleased. And Lord Chaitanya has been so kind that he's made it easy for everyone in every nook and corner of the universe and all of our families, everything, to engage in service just by chanting. Children can chant, old people can chant, fat people, anybody can chant, right? And that immediately engages our mind. Mantra means to release your mind from other things and to fill it with Krishna. So this is the most practical means for all of us to engage directly in Krishna's service. So that's why this movement is such an important thing, to spread its boundaries a little bit more and more and make our family bigger and bigger, so that other people can also understand their eternal deathless nature. It's such a wonderful thing to know. and to actually experience and to use and to make very, very conscious. So we can all kind of think, well, I don't know how many more years I have left. I took the 6 on the birthday candle and turned it upside down, put 90, and I was thinking, what if I'm going to make it to 90, you know? I don't know if I want to. But as long as we're engaged in Krishna service, well, I guess you can find something to do at 90, I don't know. And so we don't know how many years we do have left. I might have 9 seconds left, we don't know. So we should think, meditate, you know, okay, what's on my list of things I want to do during this time? I know I've thrown away a lot of lists of things that I thought I was going to do that I'm not physically able to do anymore, or even, you know, it's just not even a chance now that I'm going to do those things. So, but what am I going to do? And what are you all going to do for the remainder of your life? You know, so we should think about that. Time is very important. For us, it's wonderful. It's like the kitten. We're thinking, oh, I'm just getting a little bit closer to Krishna. His embrace, his jaws are actually very sweet. They're very, very, very cuddly. And so we can see here also in this verse that there's a secret here. It's described that you can come to my abode by my grace. So it's not really just our endeavor, but it's by the grace of Krishna. So somehow or other we have to invoke that grace of Krishna. You know, how can I please Krishna? How can I attract Krishna? We're chanting every day, oh Lord, oh energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. So that's the best thing we can do, is to have that prayer constantly on our tongue. Please, please help me. Just like the kitten, please help me. I'm dependent. I can't do anything. I can't move. I can't protect myself. And here Krishna's promising, I will protect you. If you have that attitude, that it's not me that's going to do it, it's actually you that are going to give me the realization. You're going to allow me to go deeper. You're going to allow me to come back to you. So we might want to utilize our time in humbling ourselves and making ourselves a little bit more dependent, a little bit more calling out for Krishna, so that we do feel him pick us up by our neck gently and move us to his abode. And to never think that anything we do in Krishna's service is a waste of time. It's the most useful thing we can do. It's all in an eternal bank account. Nothing goes in vain in Krishna consciousness. So the more we can do, the happier we'll become. And we can see that whatever's left of this lifetime, we should just dedicate to Krishna. Prabhupada actually begs many times, please, just this one lifetime. Just this one lifetime. Give it to Krishna. Why not? What's the risk? You're going to enjoy now and you're going to enjoy later too. Even if you don't enjoy later, you're going to enjoy now. I mean, that's why y'all are coming here, right? Because to hear the glories of Krishna is nectar, to hear the philosophy of Krishna is nectar, to see Krishna do service, to taste his prasadam is nectar. So there's no complaints really now. The only complaint is that maybe I won't get everything done I want to for Krishna in this lifetime, but that's okay, because that means that I'm just going to maybe get to do it again next time in ISKCON or something like that. It's not a problem. Rather than, oh, I didn't fulfill this material desire and then have to come back and start at ground zero again. We don't want that. No, we want to engage all of our activities in this devotional service and to learn it well, to beg Srila Prabhupada to keep us engaged and to help us focus a little bit more. Whatever time we do make, amongst all the other millions of things we do during the day, for our spiritual life, make sure it's your quality time, that you give that sacred time for your chanting, for your hearing, and do it regularly, do it very intensely, and we can more or less hope for retirement in the sense that we can retire some of our material activities and make our balancing, you know, drop a few things off the material end and put more heavy things on the spiritual end as we progress in life and have a few less entanglements. So that's something to look forward to. And that will ensure us to get to Krishna's grace for sure. He says it right here. So we just have to do our part and spread it to others also. So maybe someone else has some things they'd like to add. Yes, back there. I don't know if there's a microphone. If there's anyone at the microphone. It's not that Krishna's out to chew on the non-devotees. It's the way that the devotees, way the devotees see it, and the way that the non-devotee or the person who's not practicing yet, they're actually devotees. It's just that they forgot that they were devotees. It's just that that's the way they see it. It's not that Krishna's out to get them. But so it's a change of consciousness. That's why we call this the Hare Krishna, Krishna consciousness movement. We're trying to tell everyone, if you just change your consciousness, then you'll see Krishna in a whole different way. And you'll feel it in a different way. Yes, that's very nice. Anybody else? Yes. It's said that there's time is, what does it say, conspicuous by its absence in the spiritual world. Very hard to conceive with no time influence. Just think we could serve with not worrying about having to sleep, not worrying about having to get it done in time. Yes.
Like somebody
He has the answer. Finish. There's still hope. I have a someone put this in my lap. I'm supposed to thank everyone for all the service they did at the Rathiatra yesterday. I know some people worked very, very hard. There was a lot of obstacles, and it made very difficult for the crew. They broke down on the road for 2 hours, and then we had to have a crash, you know, get it together when we got there, and so many difficulties, but it was very, very nice and successful. I know so many people came by while they were waiting for the thing and got books, even old people. And they were actually very interested. And so it was a wonderful festival, and so many people took prasadam. And so we thank all those people that worked so hard to make it a success. And I guess the next Rathiatra is downtown Gainesville. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna.